Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. This show will encourage you to keep an open mind, and when you do that, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also come to see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight, it's my extreme pleasure to welcome a world-famous palm reader, Myrna Goldbaum. Myrna Lou teaches classes in palmistry with an insightful explanation of the lines and symbols on the palm and is accurate, compassionate, and listens. The modality employed is referred to as Asian palmistry. Her palmistry services have been booked for parties, private and corporate groups, and for individual readings. Entertainer, guest lecturer, she can hold seminars and workshops. She's a participant in numerous psychic fairs and has been a guest on many radio and television programs nationally. She has corresponded with people in 93 countries for palm readings. Currently, she's the only master palmist in the world who can guest on a radio show and read palms live from scanned computer palm prints. She's a vendor in psychic fairs, book fairs, and in trade shows, and works for entertainment agencies at all corporate events. As of today, she has documented and read 54,540 palms. Now, individuals may mail photocopies or scan palms to her email address, which is on her website, and I'm going to give that to you in just a minute, so get your pens handy. She's got a special running, so you're going to get a very good value for your money for all the time she puts into it. Anyhow, her palms are interpreted with a 90 to 95% accuracy rate, and a 4 to 5 page report is generated. So her website is www.MyrnaLouPalmistry.com, and Myrna is spelled MyrnaLou. Palmistry is PalmistryY.com. So without further ado, let me introduce Myrna Lou. Myrna, how are you tonight?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to do your show. And I'm fine. I want to do your hand right in front of everybody, right online.
Beautiful. Right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And Regina, who is the other lady whose palm scan I sent to you,
I have her
is
too.
Also holding. Yep, she's on the line tonight. Let's chat a little bit first before we get
okay.
into that. Because I would like to ask you some questions, and I'm wondering how you ever began doing this and what motivated you to read palms.
Okay, I was in the fourth grade. I was about 10 or 11 years old. I showed up at a hospital for a ride home where my mother was a nurse. She was the charge nurse with the key for the narcotics cabinet, and she couldn't leave. The next shift didn't show up, so she said, "We have to stay 8 hours." And I got antsy and noisy and carrying on, and she didn't like it. And I said, "Smells like medicine," and I was making noise. So she grabbed a book off of the candy striper's wagon, handed it to me, and said, "Sit down here and read this book." She didn't look at the title. She didn't look at the author. She just handed me a book. Happened to be a book on palmistry.
Hmm.
So I looked for that. That's pretty funny. But I couldn't understand all the verbiage. It was really complicated. But every page had a different hand on it with a line, and I understood that. So I went through that whole book in 8 hours. I think she gave me dinner somewhere in there. But I read the book, And then I went home, and my sister was 6 when I was 10, and I practiced on her. As a matter of fact, she's visiting me here in Florida right now from Tucson, and she said to me, "Don't look at my hand." But once I see a hand, I memorize it. So I don't need to look at it. I know what her hand says. So isn't that something? So out of all those 55,000 people that I've read, or 54,000 people that I've read, I can see somebody 40 years later, like at a high school reunion, and I recognize what was happened, where they've been,
that's
where
amazing.
They're going, and what's happening. Yeah, I'm not an A student on anything but this, but I love it.
Uh-huh.
So evidently, I'm still doing it at my age, and I'm way past having to work. So.
Well, why are you doing it?
Because I like it. Because I like
there
to help
you go.
People,
that's
and I
beautiful
enjoy
to
it.
Have a passion. Yeah.
It's my passion, and it's they say write about what you know, and I've written 4 books, and it's about palmistry.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your books, and then we'll get into types of things like what you can tell a person in a reading.
Okay.
Which book would you like to talk about first?
Well, the first one I wrote, I took 1 hour, which I didn't even know what the word channeling meant back then. But it was channeled through me, and I wrote a book in 1 hour on how to do palm reading. And it's called May I See Your Hand, and the subtitle's Palm Reading for Fun and Profit. And I didn't know I wrote it. This is pretty funny. We had a 3-story house, and I was in the basement in my palm reading room where I did the readings. And I sat down with a clipboard and started writing longhand. And then I got tired, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I went to bed. I started at 1 because I had insomnia that night, and I couldn't sleep. The next morning, I got up, went to work, came home, decided to throw a load in the laundry, which was in the room right next to where my little room was, and there was papers all over the floor, and I yelled to my husband, "Come quick, we've been robbed. Somebody's been in here." And he ran down the steps, and he picked up a sheet, and he said, "This is your handwriting." So then we played the game called concentration. Do you know that game?
Oh, yeah.
We turned every single sheet upside down on the floor, and he would say, "I have a thumb," and I'd say, "No, I got a baby finger." Then he'd go, "I have a baby finger," and I remember where that sheet was, and we put them together. That took 100 hours. Took a long time,
but
we got it together. Then I typed it and put it on the computer, and that took a long time. But the fantastic thing about May I See Your Hand, about the book, I went to the library because I had never written a book before, and I looked up publishers who do psychic phenomena and things like that. And I took home 14 publishers on a list, and I sent it out, a query letter out to all 14, and 4 of them wanted it.
Wow,
that's
great.
Unheard of, yeah.
It is unheard of.
So I went with the publisher called Woman in the Moon because I thought that sounded kind of, you know, woo-woo stuff. Well, she went out of business, so I have my books and I have the stock for them. And if people want them or I teach classes, I just do it out of my stock. So I look for that book that I learned on for probably 45, 50 years, couldn't find it. That's why I'm happy I have mine. Then one day I did a fair, and a man next to me, who I was reading, sat down, and he says, "You know, you sound exactly like a book I have at home that's written by a Chinaman." And I described the book, and he goes, "That's it." And that was the book I learned on.
Amazing.
Now, I lived in Ohio at that time. This was in Colorado, and he bought it in Maine. So it was synchronicity, or whatever the word is, serendipity, because he found it, I found it, and he gave it to me. So I have that book, and it validates who I am. It proves I learned from the same book, because my book follows basically the same things. But of course, it's
written
in my language. That's pretty unusual. So he hands me the book. I gave him a copy of my brand new book in 1997 is when this was, when it came out. And we traded books. So he hands me the book in a plastic bag. He's holding it at the top, and the pages are all flopping around inside there because the book was written in 1892.
Oh, my.
It was an old, old thing, and it was made on parchment paper or something. So I had to have it rebound, which I did, and I keep it in a special box because it's so fragile. But it's important to me, you know.
So what inspired you to write the other books? And tell us a little bit about them.
So then that was 1997 when that came out, and I did really well with that. And I had a lot of book signings and a lot of lectures in bookstores. And one day I went, you know, people talk to me about soulmates and love and romance more than anything when I'm doing their readings. Why don't I write a book about soulmates? So in 2003, I sat down and I wrote Soulmate Connections. And the subtitle is Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Relationships, Love, Romance, and Soulmates. So that subtitle gets everybody's attention. And I have done quite well with that book, and I have stock for that. It's also on Amazon. It's in ebook and paperback. It's on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. People can get that. And it's called Soulmate Connections, because that's what I talk about, connecting to the other side with someone you knew before in a past life. That's what I think a soulmate is.
Same
and
here.
Then that book is my favorite book, but in 2004 I went, wait a minute, I talk to people about work and other things. Why don't I write a book about everything? So I wrote The Diary of a Palm Reader, and it has murderers, kidnappers, embezzlers, blackmailing, UFOs, ghosts, everything else I see. And that one's doing quite well. And that one's also in the same place. The other, you know, they're all on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Then I didn't do anything for 10 years because I was so busy working that I was doing 70 hours a week doing palm reading. And then in 2014, I wrote Cruise to the Other Side. And it's about a cruise ship, and it's a metaphysical story. It's my first novel. And it it's a fiction book. So the publisher is here in Florida, and I didn't know it because at the time I lived in Colorado, and they happened to be right down the road from where I live, about one or two towns over. And it's called A Paranormal Novel, and it's about a mother and daughter, and it's a really interesting story, and they get into a fight on St. Thomas, which is an island, and the daughter finds a palm reader and sits down, and the woman doesn't even speak English. The granddaughter has to translate. And she tells her that she had a fight with the mother. She better fix it up before it's too late or something bad will happen to the mother. Meanwhile, the mother falls down the atrium steps on the ship, has a concussion, internal injuries, and she dies in the medical center. And then she keeps trying to contact the daughter to let her know it's okay, she still loves her. So the whole book, the premise of that book is, you have to grow up. And the daughter was 32 and she was acting 16, you know, snotty. And so she took responsibility for herself. She grew up and hate turned to love because she really thought she hated her mother, but she didn't. So that's
nice.
And it's got a lot of, when I was writing that, it was kind of creepy. One night I was typing away and my husband found me at 5 o'clock in the morning and I was still typing. And he said, "My God, didn't you go to bed?" And I said, "Oh my, no, I'm busy. I like this." And what happened I got into the characters and the people and everything. And I was having such a good time, I forgot to go to bed.
Well,
so
I know what
I'm
that's like.
Another.
I write.
Yeah. You write.
Yeah.
Too,
do you have any future plans for books?
Yeah, I'm writing one now, and it's called, the working title right now is What Happened on Emerald Deck. And Emerald is a deck on one of the cruise ships I'm writing about. And it's a kidnapping of a newborn baby. A couple goes on a cruise ship, and the nanny kidnaps the baby for $100,000. She sells it to a couple that live in Puerto Rico. So I have 7 chapters done on that, and it's going to be about 15. So I would say I'm about halfway on that one. I found
Very
out
good.
I like to write novels. And there's a palm reader in that one, too. See, because I know how to write that one. So I have seen people from every walk of life. I've done presidents of the United States, whose name I'm not going to say because I'm not supposed to yet, and movie stars. Movie stars and directors of public works and people that are pretty high up, judges and attorneys, big ones. I mean, you know, just all kinds of people who've come to me over the years.
What kinds of responses do you get to your readings?
People are pretty happy. Usually they walk away looking at their hand and going, "Wow, you got that from that." You know, I don't.
What are the
kinds of all the people? of all the people that I've read, there was only two I couldn't get at all. And both of them told me, yeah, I hear that every time I have too many lines.
Mm.
So they had tried it before, and there was only two. And I admitted it right up front. I can't make this out. It's too complicated. And they both told me, yeah, that's right. So I get 90 to 95. What do I see in a hand? Well, I can tell if a person's lonely or if they're depressed or if they need help or if I see a lump in a breast, I send them right to the doctor to go get a mammogram. I've saved a few lives because some people deny that they have a health problem. And I go, well, if you're afraid to go, I'll go with you, but I think you need to go now. And so they'll go, and then I get a phone call, and somebody will say, I hope you're happy. They took my breast off. And I'll say, but you're still here. And I had men go with prostate. I'd say, you know, you get up five times a night to go to the bathroom. Isn't that a bit much? Don't you think you better get that checked out? And they say, how do you know I'm up that many times? So I say, it's right here on your hand. See? And I show them right what I'm looking at. I prove
well,
every
I'm curious.
Night.
Do lines change over time, or
well,
are
you born,
you...
Okay, a little baby comes in with a teeny hand about the size of a quarter, right, or a 50-cent piece, and then the baby has experiences every minute of its life, and as we get older, they make impressions. When you're newborn, you don't have. But as you get to be 6 or 16 or whatever, anything that makes an impact on your brain that you go through is going to show up in your hand. And they change
really?
About every 6 months. The line is still there, but it might meander. It might change. The heart and the head, your head has to catch up with the your hand. So I said it backwards. Your heart line or your head, something happens in your head. You know, something happens to you that's mental. Your head hears it or your brain hears it. 6 months later, I can see it on a hand.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Well, you told me there are five basic lines. Can you describe what those are and what that means?
Sure. Well, what I like to do in a reading, and I'll do it with your audience too, if everybody looks at their hand, if you're right-handed, you're going to study your right hand. If you're left hand, look at your left hand. So I tell people, put your elbow on your stomach, throw your hand out in front of your face, bend your hand towards your nose a little bit, crunch it up, and now you see a bunch of lines. Do you see yours, David?
I do.
Okay. So the lifeline is the first one I start with, and that's the line that starts on the baby finger side. And when I teach classes, I tell people, B is for birth, beginning, baby. So look on your baby finger side of your hand, and you should see the biggest crease that runs from your baby finger to about the middle finger, to about the third finger over. Do you see that?
Okay. Yep.
I got your hand right in front of me here on the screen. Okay, then there's a fork at the end of it. Now, I don't know if you can see that or not. You might need a really good light or a magnifier, but I see it. And the fork at the end of your lifeline is really long, which means you're very intelligent. You have a high IQ. See, mine is a little itty-bitty thing. Yours is about an inch long.
Is that the one that goes up between my index and middle finger?
Right, right. That's part
okay.
of it, and the other half is right next to it, like a parallel, but not quite as long, almost as long.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
But it starts about in the middle of your hand, not even past the middle a little bit. But, okay, that's the IQ. So people always say to me, if there's a fork, does that mean I'm going to die this way or that way? And it isn't. It means I can be a romantic, put a ruler on your hand, and estimate how I think what your heredity line shows what you should do. So it doesn't mean I'm perfect on timing because this is takes all your ancestors into, you know, considers everything you come from, your entire gene pool. But the way I do it, the lifeline starts there and it goes across and yours goes in between the index finger. You see right where it is. So
yes.
Every finger is worth 20 years. So you go 20, 40, 60, and we stop for a minute. And if somebody told me that, I'd blow my brains because I'm way past that. But anyway, after 60, you go back to the baby finger, and there's a space between each finger, you see. If you open your hand up, you see the space. The spacing is worth 10. So if a finger is worth 20, the space in between every finger is half of that. So now we have 60. I go back, and I go 70, 80, 90. So your lifeline is showing between 89 and 91, let's say. And that's pretty
good.
That's,
yes,
I don't
is.
Know about your relatives, but that just shows you're strong. And it
they're
says
long
that
lives.
That, so the lifeline is the first one I look at. Then I look at the love
mm-hmm.
line. So now you're about 16, 17, and it's on the other side of your hand. So look on the thumb side. Your hand should still be crunched up into your elbow on your stomach, and you will see a V or a fork. Do you see the fork? There's a fork that goes down from the thumb towards the middle of your hand.
Yeah, I do see that. Yep.
Okay, so that's the love line. Then there's one, two, you have three forks. So you have a fork, a big fork, a smaller one, and then a real little one. Do you see those? At the bottom of the big fork, on the closer to the baby finger side, is a big, well, it doesn't matter. I see them. So you have three forks.
I think I see three. Yep.
Yeah, okay, the big one and big small one and a very small one. Okay, so that's
yeah,
the love line,
yeah.
And I can determine from that what I need. Then the work line, if you look on the heel of your thumb, so the thumb has a big fatty pad right underneath it. You see that big
mm-hmm.
squishy thing? Okay, those
mm-hmm.
lines that are on there are your work lines. So I can count a person's work line, see what's going on, if they're up for a promotion, if they're supposed to get it or not. If they're going for an interview, I can tell if they're going to what's going to happen. So that shows on work. Then there's reproduction on the baby finger, and that's in the crack of the baby finger right next to your hand, right part of your hand. There's a crack. It's hard to see it on this one, but I know you have it because I can look at it a little bit with the magnifier. So then boy lines stand up and girl lines lay down, and I can count on a person's hand and see what their possibility is, not what they're doing and not what they've already done. So some people
mm-hmm.
have a whole bunch of lines there, and I say, so you had 9 miscarriages, and the woman will go, oh, how did you know that? Yes, I did. And I'll say, and then I see you adopted. Yes, we did. And I say, but didn't you have a baby right after that? And they'll look at me like I'm crazy, and they'll say, yeah, as soon as we adopted, we had a 9-month-old, and I got pregnant. And there's 2 babies mm-hmm. right in a row after 9, where she lost 9. And some people are barren. They have none there. And it's not up to me to tell them, well, there's something wrong with you. I just say, ask your doctor. You know. Now, this is the best part. In 1967, every medical school in America, I found out when I did research for that first book, teaches one whole day on Oriental palmistry. So when you go to a doctor and you walk in, they shake your hand, they're feeling you up to see if it's hot, cold, the hard hand, soft. They're looking at your lines right while you're standing there talking to them.
Really?
And I called them on it, and they say, well, yeah. I asked them, they're looking at the lines in my hand. I said, well, yeah. I said, well, I already know about that, so what do you want me to tell you? And then they start asking me questions. Can you tell if a newborn is congenital or not with a heart problem? And I say, yeah, I can. You know, see. So I'm pretty, if I'm not good now, I'm not going to be good with this after all these years. Then the last thing I look at are the bracelets. And since your elbow should be still on your waist or on your stomach, if you crinkled your hand up, you'd see a whole bunch of stripes around your wrist.
Yes, I see those.
Okay, so starting on the baby finger side, because that's birth, the first one is worth 25 years, 0 to 25. Second one's 26 to 50. It goes like that. I can only see 2 on yours, so I don't know how many you have because the hand got cut off in the picture.
Okay.
So,
am I looking
right now,
on the thumb side too?
Oh, no, wait a minute. 1, 2, I could see 75 years on you so far. Yeah.
Now, what does that mean?
Each row represents 25 years. So I told you you're going to 89 to 92. 91. You know, you're up in that. So you should have 3.5 rows. How many rows do you count? 3 rows would be 75 and then another chunk, but you haven't lived there yet, so they won't be there.
Okay. All right.
So, but you're past 50, so you're in row 2, right? I mean, you're done with row 2, you're in row 3. See?
Right.
That's the way that works.
Yep.
So those are the 5 basic lines. Then there's a million symbols, a lot of things. So mine, I have a list that I use when I do my literature, when I hand a person a piece of literature. And so I'll just name off some of them. So X's mean good luck, anywhere on the hand except a lifeline, and then those are guardian angels. A star is a double X. Double X means good luck. Islands mean it's a time in your life where you feel trapped or cornered. It could be a job or whatever it is, where you live or a relationship, and everybody has them at different times, and then you either get out or there's a dot there. And if the dot is in the middle, it means you didn't get out and you're stuck in that situation. Then there's teacher's blocks, ESP, which is intuition, creativity, abilities, talent. The poison line means allergies. A mystic cross is the letter M in some hands. I have one. Giving line, stripes and grids, the soulmate symbol, reincarnation, the old soul symbol, focusing, centering, grounding, lessons learned, and new beginnings.
Oh,
that's
my.
That's a lot of stuff.
They're not
you
kidding.
See why I can get... You could see how I can type a 4 or 5 page single spaced.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I spend between an hour and a half and 2 hours to do one, but I like it. So if you enjoy something, it's sort of like it's my hobby or my pleasure.
Well, that's
and
wonderful.
I am running a, and I'm running a special now. Normally I get 100 for a reading, and I'm doing 75 for the summer. And I have
PayPal. That sounds like quite a bargain, given what you give to people.
Well, that's it. I think that what I do is I give them enough that, and it, since it is written, not just a spoken word, they have it to refer back to. Some people say,
now, are you
going to
be
years.
Sending me a copy of what you did generated for me?
I can. I have it. And
oh,
I
that
did
would
do
be
a
wonderful.
Reading on you, but what I did, I'll email you what I wrote. And I wrote down David Clark, and then I have your last name, Cowdery.
Yes.
What you told me. So you want me to tell
yes,
you what I got on yours? Okay. On your lifeline,
sure.
It says you're young at heart, not your chronological age, but about 55 mentally. Would you agree?
Yes.
You're not an old grouch, is what I'm telling you. Okay.
No.
So it says you're a powerhouse of ideas. You get a lot of bright ideas. You
uh-huh.
have a lot of energy. You have more energy than most people that age. And you act like you're in your 30s sometimes. It
That's
shows,
true.
I told you your longevity is 89 to early 90s, maybe 91, 92, because I can't get that perfect. There's a fork at the end is your IQ, and I already said that you have a one-inch one, which mine's a quarter of an inch long. Then you have what's called a double thickness on your lifeline. I don't know if you can see that and make it out, but the lifeline should be a single, unless it's if it's a double, we call it a brother line for a man, a sister line for a woman, and it means you are your own best friend because you have extra strength for self from self, but you're also your own worst enemy. And
Sometimes that works.
Yeah, well, it says sometimes you think stuff to death.
That's true.
And you get help from your inner self. But your creative thought processes are good. You're able to interview or to do a job or do whatever you're doing pretty easy. Things aren't hard for you. It shows you have many interests. You love to learn something new every day. In fact, you're not happy if you're stuck not learning stuff because you'd want to challenge your brain. You like stimulation.
Right.
So you're spiritual, loving, giving, kind, thoughtful. Those are all good things that show up on your hand. Then
I
your
like
love
that.
Line says, oh, you like that so far? So,
so
your
far,
love
I
line
love
says,
it.
When you were young, you missed several opportunities. I think you were probably shy in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then it says, you had a few different relationships until you found somebody you were compatible with for a good length of time. It looks like you had a union in the 30s.
Yes.
Then it shows finality, so it says it's over. Then the next union was your best friend.
Hmm.
Our best friend in life. So on work, it shows several major different things you've done or positions you've held, and one is a career path that you'll have forever. And it says you get restless or bored and you want to try something new and you want to conquer things. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Okay. Then it shows you're going to retire early retirement.
I already have, and I'm starting a new career.
I got this. You told me you have a book, and I have a book is here, so I didn't even know that. But you said you already wrote one, but there's another one waiting to get out of you. You got a second one. You're almost a perfectionist in your work because you follow through to completion when you, but you make yourself. So it means you're hard on you, but you're lenient with other people. Right?
That's true.
Okay, and then your reproduction line shows 4, which is the national average. So you may or may not have done that, but you put 4 perfect ones with arms, legs, and a brain. So that's good. Some people show, you know, what you heard me say, 9 and have 9 miscarriages. And some people, twins, they go one time and that's it. So yours is showing 4. That could have been perfect. Then your past lives, you have 11 past lives. And the average is 4 to 7 when, the way I'm doing this. So you're 1,100 years old. So you're only a little past the average of 7. But you're, each one of those I count as 100 years because I don't know how to do it any other way. So it means you are 1,100 plus this lifetime. And I only yell at people if they're over 20. But I've had 60 on people and 52 and 38, all different kinds.
Really?
So 11, I'll let you have 11. So each time you come back, your sex changes. So you're the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the grandma, the grandpa. You know, you're different each time, but you're still you. So we carry implants, and you have 11 implants of past lives. 10 of them were normal. So let's say the first one, you lived till 35, even though I have to count it as 100. But maybe you lived during the time of Christ, and that was a normal time to die. See, people lived till 35 in that century. So in one, you drowned. So 10 of them are normal, and one was an accident where you were drowned as a little child.
I see.
So that's what I got on your life. What did you think of that?
I think that's great. I'm just curious as far as the work goes, what you see coming up down the line, if anything.
Okay. Well, if you're starting a new career, so work the first 50 years would be on the thumb side of your hand, and then from your wrist over, from the you just make an imaginary line down your middle of your hand, and the age you are is on the other side of the thumb. And it's showing 1, 2, 3, 4 different things so far. And you said you're retired, and I see that now. So you're starting a new thing, but it's for yourself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's my writing. I've actually written 20 books, and
I've had
a few. You know, I have many more to get out there.
You wrote 20 already.
Yeah.
Well, but you can't live on the money you make from books sometimes. But
no,
the thing is,
no,
what it says is you're going to do something else besides that. So then the books is only part of it. Maybe you're going to do workshops and have somebody in the back of the room selling your workshop seminars and your books. See?
I see. Interesting.
So then that means you have to travel because it shows travel here. And it says you get like $500 for an hour lecture. It's pretty good. But it's, you haven't done this yet, so this is what you have coming now. So you know how who Wayne Dyer is?
Absolutely.
Okay, well he would go and do work. He passed away now, but he would go and do workshops and have maybe 3 people in the back of the room selling his CDs, his books, all his stuff. And so the workshop wasn't that expensive. He maybe charged $50 a person, and they'd have a couple hundred people in there, but he made more money on the back side of it than he did from the front side. And he would have somebody set it up in hotels or wherever he put them on. And he would make an hour talk. He'd get $500 for the talk, make all the money for out of the workshop, plus he would get the money for the things that they sold. Then he moved to Hawaii because he made so much money he could, you know, stay there most of the time. And then he would come and do a workshop like once every 5 or 6 months. Didn't have to do it all the time.
That's the way to do it.
I think that's what you're doing. I think you're going to do that.
Well, that sounds good to me. I'll take it. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, you know, just to let you know, we have 7 callers on the line, one of whom is Regina. And I'm wondering if you're willing to go a little past the hour mark so we can get some of these callers to talk to you if they have questions.
Okay.
Shall we call up Regina here?
Okay.
Okay. Regina, you're live. Say hello to Myrna.
Good evening, Myrna. I'm so happy to meet you. I
well,
read your site, and I'm so impressed by you.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And I thought I was a palm reader, right? But
yeah.
when I saw how many you did, you know, I've probably read a couple hundred, and that's it. And I use a different method, so this is all
that's right. You probably do Hindu.
I don't know what it is, but it's not your way. So
yeah, my way is the way when I teach classes with this, people walk away and they go, oh, I get it. I can do it. I can teach it in 2 hours.
Okay. Well,
that's amazing, isn't it?
I love palm reading, too, so I get your enthusiasm. I'm so excited when I see somebody's hand, like a famous person on TV. I go, oh, my God, they're showing their hand. It's so exciting. People don't know.
Well, the first book I wrote, I ran up to the TV every time O.J. Simpson showed his hand, and I read his hand.
Yeah.
And so that was going to be the... They said you need a hook in a book, and that was going to be the front of the book, the first paragraph.
Uh-huh.
And my publisher put it for conclusion. She moved it to the back. I told her she could do anything she wanted to fix it up, make it nice.
Yeah.
So she said, I'm putting that for the conclusion. So that wasn't my hook. But the thing was, I ran up to the TV when they acquitted him, and I said, oh, I can read that hand, and I read it.
Yeah.
I made notes real quick, and I have it. So let me do your hand for you.
Okay.
So
your
lifeline shows me that your family didn't get the food you got and didn't eat the way you do, but you're being careful. Is that true?
Yes.
Do you eat right?
I do. I try.
Yeah, well, it says you do from this. It says you're strong and healthy and you eat a bit different than they did. And so years ago they didn't know not to eat certain things, and that's probably why.
Yeah,
you know,
a can of SpaghettiOs might be dinner, you know, as a kid.
Well, oh, yeah, we all did that. But and you put your hand, you gave me a hand print that looks like it was all inked or something.
I inked it because I couldn't get a good copy.
You could. Well, and David's was bad. I made him send me a second copy because the first one was too fuzzy.
Yeah.
So what this says about your lifeline, it shows me that your mother had a little trouble with you with ear, nose, and throat when you were real young.
Yep.
And that you got colds one after another, and she kept trying to treat it. And finally, did you ever get your tonsils out?
Yep, 5 years old.
Yes, I know that because she got tired of having one infection after another.
Yep.
So they took them out, and that's good then. You got your immune system built up, and you weren't sick anymore like that. But is that your weak spot today, like drainage or sinus or nose blowing? Or do you have any trouble?
Well, I have problems sometimes in that area, in my throat area.
Right, because you have post-nasal drip at night, it shows, and you have stuff like that. How do you sleep?
On my side.
No, I mean, are you a good sleeper, or you wake up, or...
Sometimes I wake up. Sometimes I'm an insomniac. It depends upon the phase.
Yeah, right. Well, we all have that once in a while, Well, when you get up in the morning, is your bed so not messed up that you can make it just go swoop, and your blanket's okay, or is it all torn up?
Usually, I tear it up.
I know that. It says that you toss and turn... And I wanted to see what you said, but it says that you tear your blankets up all night long. You're tossing and turning.
Yeah,
it also
says
that you dream, but you don't remember them. Is that true?
Not anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore.
Well, it's okay. We do 7 or 8 a night, and you're the star in every one of yours, so that's okay. So it just shows that your mind
is
good.
What do you mean
good,
I have a star? What?
It just means you're the center piece of each one of your dreams.
Oh, okay.
You're the star. You're the movie star in your dream.
Yeah.
And so it says in the mid-50s you might have had back trouble. Maybe a little bit materialized, but you didn't need surgery or anything, I don't think.
No.
Then it says the fork at the end of your IQ, the end of your lifeline's pretty good too. So It looks like it's not school smart, but street smarts.
I got a lot of that, and I got some school smarts, but I got a lot of street smarts, yes.
It says you have common sense is what I'm trying to show you there.
Yes.
Okay. Then the love line says your union is thick on one side and thin on the other, so that equals, it means unequal in life. So that means that whoever you mated with or whoever your first lover was,
yeah,
it was a love affair of the century for you, but not for them.
Uh-huh.
And then it shows that went away. So you might not have married that person. That could have been
right.
Your first love.
Right.
Then it shows a long marriage later. So maybe at 30, 29, 30 or something.
Yeah.
It shows that lines, those lines match, and that was good. And it's like a big bright star, like a big bolt of lightning in the middle of your hand, and that's good.
Uh-huh.
So this looks like it happened. And that it's like an X. And to me, X's mean good luck. And this bolt of lightning on your hand is a giant X. So normally they're about the size of, a quarter of an inch tall. This one's about 2 inches.
Oh.
So that means it was really a deep, made a big impression on you, a deep impression.
Yeah. Well.
It says you have a soulmate, or you, if you don't have one now, it's coming soon. So are you with anybody?
Not currently. Mean soulmate, somebody on the other side or somebody here on Earth?
No, somebody who you knew. For instance, grandma and grandpa, and one of you didn't get to say goodbye in another lifetime, and somebody died. This time you're you. You're not grandpa, but your grandma, the other person died. So you have the implant. You meet the person who was grandma and grandpa. You know, the two of you find each other in this lifetime. You connect, and that's what I think a soulmate is.
Okay.
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 And so I think
that
you're supposed to have one.
I wish I'd have one.
I'll tell you where to look on your hand, and where I see it is down by the wrist. There's a pyramid. I call it a pyramid or an Indian teepee. Do you see that?
Yes.
Not on your wrist. It's actually on your hand, right next to your wrist. Well, that's
on the Mound of Luna.
I don't call it that, so I don't know.
Oh.
But it's right down there. It's right on your hand before it gets to the wrist, and there's a little pyramid, and that represents soulmates. But this is the bad part. You have 17 past lives. You're 1,700 years old plus now, and that means you have 17 soulmates you could connect with. Well, they're not all around anymore. Some of them came and looked. You were busy.
Yeah.
Some of them came and looked, and you weren't needy. Right now, you could use one.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, the next 30 years would be nice with the soulmate.
Yeah, it would be lovely.
Yeah, and that's what you're supposed to have. He may not be able to drive at night because he might not be able to see at night, but he'll be able to be there for you for companionship, for fun, for good times.
Okay.
And then on work it says you've done many things, and anything you do it well or you don't want to do it.
Yep.
So it says you have talent, ability, and it lies in you get what you need from people, and they don't even know they're giving it to you.
Yeah.
You come in through the back door.
Okay.
Is that true? For instance, you're a school teacher, and you give them a test, and nobody passes it, and then you make it so much fun, they don't realize it's a test, and you grade them, and they all get it. That's what I'm talking about. So it says you're a leader, not a follower.
Yeah.
You're not lazy. You can write, lecture, teach, no problem.
Yeah.
You're good with yourself, and you're on a path that is for your own highest good. Your bracelets I can't see because it cut off. ESP is strong, and you've always liked that kind of thing, and you studied palmistry, you told me, so that means that's one of your things.
Yeah.
Now you have one thing that I didn't talk about. David didn't have this, but you do. You know what flanges are on your fingers? You know, you have fingertips, and then you have the other two areas that are called flanges.
Yeah.
And look on your hand and tell me, what do you see on your flanges?
Well, they're straight lines going.
Right, those stripes all over the place.
Yeah.
And those are called stripes, and stripes are boo-boos. Things that you started doing that were a mistake starting with age 10, and you're still doing it. So it could be as stupid as you get your hair cut too short, you don't like it, and you have to wait for it to grow out. You know, or you buy a car and it's a lemon and you're sorry you bought it, but you said you're going to make the payments. So for 2 years you're stuck in it, you make the payments, and then you get out. So anything that you make a boo-boo is going to show up on your hand right there.
Boy, I've made a lot of boo-boos.
Yeah, you got a lot of those lines, yeah. And that's all I got on yours. That's what I worked up on yours. What do you think of that?
You're right on. You're right on.
Oh, you liked it. Yeah.
You're hitting me on the head. I'm with a bad car that I got to pay, and my hair is way too short. I mean, you're just hitting the nails on the head. Okay.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny. Well, I'm glad I got to talk to you, and I'm glad that you liked my website, because my husband won all kinds of awards with that website.
It's a wonderful one, and it shows you and your personality, and I'm so thrilled to have met you and have had you do this reading for me, and you're inspiring me to learn your way.
Yeah, then you need my book.
I will have to get it.
And I have them. Yeah, I would send it to you if you... They're $20, and then
okay.
I charge $4 for shipping, and it's called May I See Your Hand, and you can read all about it on my website, and you'll know if you want it or not.
I think I'd like to learn your methods, you know. It's very
inspiring. Well, then you can do it until you're 90 if you want to, because it's easy. This is an easy way. There's no mountains to talk about, no Luna and all that, Apollo and all this. I don't do any of that.
And you think I might get to 90?
Oh, well, you're going way past that.
Really?
You know, I said you have 30 years yet.
Okay.
Add that up to your age. You know what age you are today. We're not going to say it out loud, but you have a long time to go.
Okay.
According to your hand.
I'll eat better. I'll eat better.
Yeah.
And I'll
try to
sleep
better.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Marina.
Good for you, Regina.
Thank you for
volunteering.
Thank you. I'll continue listening.
All right. Great. I'll put you on mute, but you'll still be able to hear.
Thank you very much.
For people that tuned in late, if you want to get your palm read by Myrna Lou, you go to www.myrnaloupalmistry.com, and Myrna is spelled M-Y-R-N-A, then L-O-U, palmistry, P-A-L-M-I-S-T-R-Y.com. So, at any rate, we do have Anna on the line. We have a woman named Wendy on the line who had belatedly sent in a scan of her hand, and we're not going to be able to do that tonight, Wendy, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to talk to Myrna Lou. So I'm coming to you right now, Wendy, and if you have any questions, I assume she'll be happy to answer them.
Of course, if I can.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, David, and hi, Myrna.
Hi.
Nice to meet you all. And, yes, I did send the scan to David. I hope he can still forward it to you. But I also looked up your website, and I sent it to your website as well.
Uh-huh.
And my most current issue is I need employment, and I had an interview at Blue Cross last Friday.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if I'll get the job and keep it for, I hope, at least 4 years or more.
Well, unless I can see your hand, I can't tell you, because I have to see on the work line. Did you email it to me?
I did, yes.
And you have my email address. I'm going to go look right now. I had David's hand up here. Just a minute.
Thank you, Myrna.
I don't have it, so I didn't get it yet.
I can forward it to you right now, Myrna.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, David. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
And
no
then
problem.
I'll look and we'll see what I can find out.
And
the thing is, my server sits in Colorado. I'm in Florida. It has to go wherever you are, David, to Colorado, come back, then come down here. So sometimes it takes a while. I don't always get them in 5 minutes.
So it has been sent.
Huh?
Yeah, it has been So, Wendy, why don't we come back to you, and I'll let the next caller talk to Myrna, and when she receives it, then I'll bring you back on the line. How does that sound?
Thank you both very much.
Okay.
You're welcome. So I did send it, Myrna. Okay, the next caller is... Anna, you're live on the air with Myrna Lou. Say hello.
Hello, Myrna Lou. How are you today? Thank you, David.
Hi, Anna. I got your hand, and I did work it up a little bit, so ask me your question, and I'll see if I have it from these answers I came up with.
I'm kind of interested in romance. I was married once a long time ago, but do you see that happening for me again?
Yes, I do. It says you got a second union coming with the soulmate. So the first one wasn't. You made a mistake, but I think you wanted out of the house. That's why you got married the first time.
That's true. That's true.
And you knew it was wrong when you did it, but you did it anyway.
That's true.
Right? And so you heard what I think. You heard what I think a soulmate is. Let me just read you a couple things from my book on soulmate connections. This book, the first 17 pages, has stuff in there that even your mother never told you. And it says, mistakes not to make this time, questions to ask, you know, red flags to look out for when you're dating somebody, 15 qualities to look for in a soulmate relationship, friendship first, how to recognize a soulmate, how do you connect, how do you react with each other, how do you find a soulmate, there's just a million things here. What is karma? If you're my soulmate, why are we so miserable? Will this soulmate stay for the rest of my life? What do we need from each other? Remember, everybody needs something.
Yeah.
When are they arriving? How long will they stay? Are they staying forever? What's the definition of love? Then this book has 46 love stories taken from palm reading sessions. They're all soulmate stories. All you have to do is copy one of them. If one of them resonates with you and you go, oh, I could do what she did or what he did, now you have a way to look for a soulmate, how to recognize it. So you need to do that because you forgot how to flirt and you forgot how to go look for the right type, right or wrong.
Right.
Okay, because you haven't been on. We all have invisible antenna. You haven't been using yours. So this, my publisher is Infinity Publishing, and they told me charge $300 for the book. The publisher told me that, and I said, oh, why should I do that? He says, well, I'm 57. I've never been married. I've had two 20-year relationships. Now I'm going out to find my soulmate. I didn't exactly know what it meant, but everybody says soulmate, soulmate. So I thought I knew what it was till I read your book. So I had to send him a wedding present.
Oh, okay. Well, can you tell me about what age I would be when I finally sold?
No, I can't see because your hand isn't that clear of a print.
Okay.
I can only see that it's coming in the next, I would say your window is today in 18 months.
Oh, okay.
Especially
thank
if you,
Myrna.
Use your antenna and get out there, then it's going to happen. You have to have intention. You have to say, I'm doing this, and then go do it. So, see?
Yes.
So your love line was the soulmate mark. Then on the work line, it says you started out doing part-time jobs, babysitting. You got your first real job. Then you've had maybe two or three major jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, you have only five past lives, so you are in a good shape. You're 500 years old plus this lifetime.
Okay.
And so they were both older than you. Your bracelets are four rows, so that says you're going almost to 100.
Mm.
So your ancestors, it says, were really strong. They might have been farmers or miners or whatever they did. They had a strong leg, strong back, and they were powerful, and you got some of that strength. You got all those genes that are good. Your lines are real easy to read, and they're really thick and heavy. I love that kind of hand.
Mm-hmm. I can
it's
see
probably
that.
One of the best ones,
Yes, I can see that, Myrna. Yes, they
really they're really beautiful. They're good. And if I was going to write another book, I might want to put your hand in there.
Okay.
As a sample. That's how good
just
it is.
Let me know.
And so that's all I got on you because I just did it real quick. It just shows I can't see the reproduction line because it's too cut off, and that would be by the baby finger.
No,
but
thank you.
I'm just telling you, I really think you have a pretty hand. So.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in, Anna, and thank you for participating in the show tonight.
Yes, thank you, David.
All right, you're welcome. You can continue to listen. All right,
Wendy.
Let's go back. We'll go back to her.
I just have to see if I can get it up now. Yep, I got her.
Wonderful.
Okay.
So what did she ask me about work? She wants to know about the interview she had. So first of all, how old are you today? Okay, Wendy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How old are you today?
I had my 65th birthday, July the 6th.
65?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm looking over on the other side of your hand. It says they liked you in the interview, and there's two other people up for it besides you, and it looks pretty good for you. How did the interview go?
I think it went fairly well.
You were impressed. I hope they were. It says you got impressed by them, and you would like it. Okay,
yes.
The color red means now, and your work line is lit up like a Christmas tree. And it says you want it now. You'd like that. You'd like those benefits. You want it, and it's showing that there's the other two are against you, but they're younger than you, so that you might be having a problem that way.
Oh.
They might go for somebody 28 instead of somebody that's your age. You know, you had to have impressed them enough to get. Did you have a callback interview?
No.
That was the first one?
I met with Angela. She's the one who originally called me. And TJ and Vicky.
That's who talked to you. But what I'm saying is you're going to get a callback for a second interview.
Okay.
And you didn't have that yet, right?
No.
And the reason is they're going to call all three of you back for a second one, and then they're going to decide, so I'm going to tell you how to get it. Okay?
Okay.
Do you own anything red? Like a red blazer or a red tank top or a red scarf or something red?
I do have a red blazer, but I also have a suit that's almost like something I'd wear to church. It's very pretty. It's more like a dark rose color.
No, it has to be red. Red is a power
color,
and if you go in for an interview and you wear anything, if you don't have it, just go buy a little red scarf or something, or red beads. I don't care what you wear, but wear something red, and you'll beat the other two out, and you'll get that job.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And will I keep the job for at least 4 to 5 years?
I can't see that. What I can see is you would like it. I already know they like you, so you'd fall right in. You know, you'd have camaraderie with everybody. You'd have a good time. It would be a beautiful, you know, it would work. But you have to wear red to beat the other two because they're younger than you.
Okay. I'll try to find my red purse. And
if you don't have it, you don't need to wear something all red. But when you wear anything red, they look at that and it gets their attention. And then they eliminate the other ones because you had red on.
Okay.
That's my secret.
All right. So I have a good chance. And
it says that, yeah.
I had an emergency on my ring finger of my right hand last year. And three doctors said amputation. Three doctors said cancer. I knew they were wrong. And I refused the amputation. And thank God, because it proved no cancer.
I see it. I'm looking at it right now. What I see is it was a scare, right?
Yes.
You got scared because it's a big island on your hand. Take a look at your hand. I'm looking at the one with the two rings on it. On your lifeline, and you heard where that is, the line that goes across, starts on the baby finger side, you have a thing called an island, but it's really dark on one side and then the other side, so it looks sort of like a baby mountain. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, that's the scare. The deep part is you praying to God and asking for guidance and help, and you said, I can't do this, and you didn't do it. Then it turned out okay.
Well, my parents in heaven were telling me not to do it. And the surgery was on my right hand, on my ring finger.
I know that, but you're carrying this on your left hand right now. I'm looking at your left hand.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. It's a mark on your hand, and I see it. And it says you were scared out of your mind, and then you came out of it okay and didn't do it. And it turned out you didn't need it anyway. It was okay.
And you'll see that my baby finger is curved up and the finger next to it.
Yeah, a little bit at the tip, yes.
I'm hoping that they'll flatten out eventually with hand therapy.
Oh, who cares? You know, I broke my baby finger and I went for hand therapy and it's still broken. It didn't straighten up. Mine's still crooked.
Oh.
That is, it's so little of a thing, you know. It's not something to worry about. If you lost your nose or some big thing, then you could. A baby finger is the least thing to worry about there is.
Oh, I'm extremely
Since you
thankful.
Didn't lose it. Since you
they
didn't amputate it, be happy and love every minute that you have it there.
I'm blessed, and I'm very. It was the smartest thing I ever did in my whole life.
Yeah.
And they reconstructed the end of my ring finger by taking an arterial skin graft from my upper arm. So
okay.
It looks different. It like you just
it doesn't matter. Okay, but it doesn't yeah. matter because you have it.
Oh,
you know,
I'm blessed.
Yeah, I
I'm
think
blessed.
I would say thank you, I have my hand, you know, because you need it to tie a shoestring
oh.
or do anything. You need your
and,
hand.
And,
you
I'm
need
an,
your...
and I'm an artist, and I want to get back to doing my portraits and seascapes and everything else.
Yeah.
And I want to illustrate books and work for Hallmark cards.
Well, all that stuff is good, and you're probably going to be able to do every bit of it because it says here that you're going to be working till your last breath. So
yeah.
that means that you're always going to be doing something because that's who you are. See, that's
okay.
fun. Okay, so I
do
hope you liked it.
Do you know how long I'll be living?
Let me look. So how old are you today? Because I don't know.
65.
Oh, wait, you told me that. So I'm looking at 65, 67,
uh-huh.
69. It looks like about 90 to 91. So people
and
under the age of 50 are going to go to 120 or 130. We aren't.
Oh, okay.
And the reason
and
is they technology is going to come in their lifetime, and people over 50 aren't going to see that. My son's
uh-huh.
53. He isn't going to see it either.
Oh.
See?
And how many lives have I had?
Well, let me. I can't make that out. Let's see. Sometimes everything doesn't show up on a... Oh, wait, yes, I can. Just a minute, I'm looking again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7. You have 7. You're so normal, it's boring, but I like it.
Oh, that's
seven
very
is,
many.
4 to 7 is normal, and you're so normal, it's just unbelievable. So
well,
you got 700
good,
years under your belt.
Being a good person is extremely important to me, a good Christian. And
well, you are, and you bend over backwards to do the right thing. I could see that.
Oh, yes, I do, because I have to live with myself, and I'm very
well,
strict.
Okay, let's say you owe somebody $5. You pay them back. You don't get real quiet about it and pretend like it didn't happen, right?
Yes.
Okay, some people get real quiet and hope maybe it'll never come up, and they keep that $5 and it doesn't even touch their conscience. You can't stand it. You're going to pay back.
Well,
that's who you are.
My beloved brother David passed on March the 2nd of this year, tragically, a real high distance from a bridge. And bless his heart, he drove me down to my operations, and I had promised him to pay him back for the gasoline and the bridge toll. And he reminded me about it, and I said, you're absolutely correct. I do owe you for this. And he kind of grumbled. And then because of his passing, he wasn't paid back, and I feel so horrible about that.
Well, but you don't have to. He did something he wanted to do to help you.
Yes.
See? But what I'm saying is that's who you are. That's the kind of person you are. You're not a taker or a user. You're a giver. Givers get gifts from God, and you got the gift of not having to lose your fingers because you didn't do what they wanted you to do, and it turned out right anyway. See?
I'm a testimony.
So that was a gift.
And the most precious gift in this world is love. And,
right.
There you go.
When I met Thomas Kincaid, he took my hands and looked in my eyes, and he said, Wendy, the most important thing is love. And he was speaking my language. And,
right. And you could talk. Yeah, right. So that's the thing. See, you connected on a level that both of you were on at the same time, at the same place. Some people never connect, and some people don't get it. You got it.
And I'm a humanitarian. When I work on the phone in the healthcare industry, people love me. I take real good care of them. I'm very kind to them.
Well, that's why I told you to wear red, and they're going to love you. Didn't you hear me say they're going to love you?
And Wendy, I'd like to ask you to call back in on one of my future shows when you get that job and let us know.
Or just email me and let me know if I'm right.
I would love
there you
to
go.
Both of you. And Myrna.
Yeah, you've got my email address, too. I'd be interested in hearing back from you. And we're going to try to take one more caller, so I'd like to wrap things up with you, if that's okay.
God bless
sure.
you.
Yeah,
God love
thank
you,
you. Okay.
All right, God bless you, honey. You take good care.
Yes, yes, you'll be hearing from me, both of you. God bless.
Okay.
Thank you, hon. All right.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to go to this one more caller just to see if they have any questions for you, Myrna Lou.
Okay.
And I don't know your name, but your area code 520. What's your name, please?
Oh, it's Lisa, but I don't have any questions. I was listening, and I wasn't able to scan my handprint.
Okay.
Well, you've got the website.
I'm sorry?
You've got her website. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So I'd suggest contacting her through the website. She's running a special now, and she generates, I don't know if you heard, three to five-page report, Myrna Lou?
4, 5, 6, depending on what I find. It's a really big report. Takes a long time to read through it all. After I do it, I read it, and then I send it. I email it out. Then a person waits and reads it, and then they call me back and say, that took me a half hour to read. Well, I hope so. You know, I'm putting that much work into it. You know.
Thank you.
So I can't
well, Lisa,
see her
thank
hand
you
if
for,
I don't have it. Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa, thank you for calling in tonight and listening to the show. Appreciate your support.
Okay.
And I just have a couple of questions I'd like to ask you, Myrna, and then we'll call it a wrap.
Okay. All right.
I'm curious, and this was one of your suggested questions, but one thing that I'm really interested in is how you can see in a person's palm if they're not with their soulmate, if that's possible.
If they're not with their soulmate. First of all, more people don't have one than have one. So what I look at is the possibility. If you don't have the mark, it only takes one in a couple to have the pyramid mark down by the wrist. So I don't have one. And I'm on the third marriage because I had one that died after 20 years. One was 13 and a divorce, and this one is 20. So my husband this time has a giant one, about an inch and a half long. Usually they're only about a half inch long. And his is big, and I got the soulmate this time. So we know each other from a past life. How I can't tell if a person isn't with their soulmate. I can tell if somebody's with one, but they're miserable and that they need to let go, because sometimes people come together to complete something and then they go their own ways. So nothing's written in stone. You know, it's not, nothing's perfect in this world. My marriage isn't either. Some days I love every hair on his head, and other days I want to throttle him. And some days he tells me
relate.
I'm annoying, and the next day he can't leave me alone. He loves me to pieces. So that's what marriage is, and that's what a soulmate is. It's, you don't even have to be married to have a soulmate. Sometimes it's
well,
a mother and daughter.
How long have you been interested in soulmates?
Since 2003. That's how long I've been studying it and checking it out and looking at it when I wrote the book, Soulmate Connections. I had a TV show called The Same Thing in Colorado, and I did couples and people that were seeking their soulmates and people that had one that wished they weren't in that relationship and people that go, there's nobody out there, I can't find anybody, and I'd look in their hand and say, it's right there. There it is. You haven't been in the right place at the right time. You have to reach. You have to try and take a risk a little bit to find the right combination. And when it's right, it only takes 2 minutes and you know it. If it isn't right, you just can work at it. But when it's a soulmate, you already knew that person in another lifetime, and you've already had bickering, competition, sexual tension, frustration, all that stuff is over with, and now you go forward together. And so that's why I like to talk about soulmates, because it's interesting. I get a lot of people who cry, especially men, who put their head down and call for their mother, and they go, "Mama," and I have to leave the room, I can't take it. And they'll say, "I must have an allergy, I don't know what made me do that." Well, it's because I hit him right in the solar plexus. I can tell what's going on. Some men are afraid to be alone, and they'll put up with anything just because they have somebody that darns their socks and makes them their meal. But you're supposed to have where you're enjoying life together and learning and growing together, right?
Yep, absolutely.
If you don't grow, you're stagnant. And so, and if a relationship is stagnant, it's going right straight to the bottom of the barrel, so you don't want that. So it's up to both partners to work at it. If you don't work at anything, it's no good. So
well,
today's soulmates is my favorite thing.
You talked to two people tonight about upcoming soulmates, and I'm wondering how many people you've put together with their true soulmates.
Well, over 3,000 people, which is 1,500 couples. But
wow.
I knew people to put together with other. I'd look in the hand and say, "What you need is," and I describe what I think they're wishing they were getting. And they'd say, "Well, yeah, how do you know that?" So I'd give them a list. Well, first I would ask the woman, "Is it okay if I give your name and number out?" And if they say, "Yes, find me somebody." And then if it doesn't work, I can't help it. It's up to them. But a lot of them connected immediately. Some of them took 5 different people to date till they found the right one, but they wouldn't have found it if I didn't tell them where to go look.
Tell
them, "You need to join a church group, because group things is how you start it up." Or, "Why don't you go to the Y and work out?" And they say, "Well, I don't want to." And I say, "Well, I think you need to go to the Y." "Well, I'm not." And I say, "Well, then, okay, but that's where your soulmate's hanging out." And all of a sudden, they go to the Y. Then I get a phone call and they go, "You were so right. I'm in the volleyball tournament with my soulmate." You know, so, you know, I got a call one time. I have to tell you this. 2:00 in the morning, a woman calls up and says, "This is Mary. I'm engaged." I said, "I know 1,000 Marys and I'm sleeping. It's 2:00 in the morning. Call me tomorrow and tell me who you really are." Next day she calls up and tells me, and she said, "You told me I get engaged," and I did. And she's all excited. Then I said,
"Well, do you have anything to tell Regina about her potential soulmate?"
No, I couldn't see. I
okay.
could just see she's supposed to have it, and she has a window of 18 months
okay.
for it to come in.
Okay.
All
right. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I've really enjoyed the show.
Well, I had a good time doing it, and I want to thank you for having me, and I'll be come back anytime you want me to.
Beautiful. Are there any closing remarks you'd like to make?
I'd just like to tell everybody that if they check out my website, you will see that my husband did it for me, and he won some awards. And in 2012, Bing, Alexa, and Google went together and did a survey, and I came out the 12th best palm reading website in the United States, 6th in the world.
Beautiful.
So that's my closing statement. And my website is www.myrnaloupalmistry.com. I was named for Myrna Loy, if any of your people are old enough to know who that is. And it's spelled M-Y-R-N-A, Myrna. L-O-U is my middle name. Palmistry is P-A-L-M-I-S-T-R-Y.com.
Well, folks, now you know how to get in touch with her, and I trust you've been impressed by the reading she's given tonight and the affirmations that people have given her about her accuracy. So thank you once again, and at this point we'll come to a close. Let's pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night and God bless.